Good to be here this morning. Lord, been working on me. I think I should testify, give a testimony this morning of how he's worked over the years. Probably May 4th, 1998. I woke up and realized there's something better than this world has to offer. Something more eternal, something more sure, secure. There's so many words you can use. As a child of God that you have, that this world cannot offer you today. There's nothing this world has that will last longer than what God has given you. It's eternal. I'm gonna try to weave this all together. It's gonna sound random, but I'm gonna trust me. Just give me a moment. I'll tie everything together. Things I've learned over the years as a Christian. Start with young people. One of the devil's schemes is to get you distracted in this world by stuff, possessions. Brother Phil preached on a sermon that stuck out about possessions. What are you investing in? Are you investing in the world or are you investing in your eternal life in heaven? The Bible is clear. Store these things in heaven. Where neither raw moth or rust can, or theft can touch these things. Things here can be taken from you. You can lose them in an instant. Ask Margaret Pope. She knows all too well how fast can happen the things of this world. If you take one thing from me, young people, do not get tied up in the things of this world. Me and Brother Brian was talking this morning about simplifying our lives. I'm getting into a point. I'm sorry to say it took me all these years to get there, but I think it's finally sinking in. After all these years of simplifying your life, decide what you, if you're going to possess anything, make it sweet, short, and simple. And then move on. Don't spend your whole life trying to possess this and this and this. You'll never be satisfied. I'm telling you, never, young people. And I thank God for working. And the next step, the next point is that God uses people to work in your life. Do not be afraid of God touching your life, putting a finger on anything. He does it because he loves you. You might be embarrassed. You might be embarrassed of being caught. But if someone brings out something to you, just thank God that someone did, that God cared enough to do it. Yes. He uses people in your life to show you things that aren't good, that aren't of God, that aren't a blessing to anybody, that would just drag you down, confuse you, steer you the wrong way, send you the wrong direction. I'm not doing this to embarrass anybody, but God has used a particular brother. I happen to work with him. We spend a lot of time together, and we talk. And he's used that brother in my life to show me things that are not good. And I thank God for it, and I thank the brother for it, that he's used. Do not be embarrassed. Do not be afraid when God touches something in your life, because he does it because he loves you. Young people, yes, I'm going to go back to young people every now and then. You ask anybody here with age, they can tell you, I hope they can tell you the same thing as I'm telling you this morning. I believe they can. If you want advice, there's plenty of people in here. If you, anything at all, do not be embarrassed to go one-on-one with them. They're here to help you because they love you. And God is using that person in your life to help you mature. I just thank him for working in my life. The last few sermons, it felt like he's been talking just to me. I'm sure you can testify in here. There are people in here. If you've been here long enough, you'll feel like you're the only person in the whole room, and God is going. Over here, focus here. Don't get distracted. The world's crazy. I don't watch the news. I know things are bad enough. I know it's out of control, but God's in control. As bad as it looks, as bad as it seems, He's not going to lose one. Nothing happens outside of his will. Nothing. You can bank on that. If it's your time to go, then praise God it's your time to go because he's called you home. Not 1 second later, not 1 second sooner, are you going to go home. There's nothing in this world. What can man do to us? Nothing. Send us to heaven? Hello? How can that be? I mean, it's been said before, how can it be a bad thing? I mean, kill the body because it can't kill the soul. And I thank God for this church. 2007, Brother Pablo brought me, invited me here. I'm thankful to be here. I thank God for each one of you. I pray for each one of you. Each one of you is special, not only to God, but special to me.
Amen. And I would certainly say a hearty amen to the young people. You look around at us old folks, we were young once. We were right where you're at. And we know what you go through. But I'll tell you, we've got a Lord who has so much more than this world can ever possibly offer, as has been said so well. It's tempting, as on target as what Brother Doug said, to just say amen and let's go home. But I've had some thoughts that I just want to share and ask the Lord to make real. You know, it's pretty evident as we share needs in the various ways that we do, and particularly on a Wednesday night, that a lot of folks are going through a lot of things. And, you know, we feel the burden of that, of those things. We have to deal with them one way or another. And I just felt like as the week wore on, my mind just went back to an extremely familiar verse. And I felt the need to go back to it, because it's one of those things that we've heard so many times, and we say, oh, no, I know all about that. I've heard that, you know, over and over and over again. But I wonder how much we really get it and how much we live it. And that's really what it comes down to, because we're going to heaven. We're not going to have a theology quiz to make sure we know every little detail. But what the Lord gives us his word for is so we can have his grace and his strength and everything we need to walk in a broken world. Obviously, this is what he's allowed. And so we need to rest in that and just find our hope and our strength in that. So anyway, I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 4. As many times as we've heard this, I believe there are things the Lord wants to make real and fresh. Because if we're going along, really filled with the anxiety that this world produces, there's so much in this world that produces fear. And it's we have to deal with it one way or another. We got to deal with it. It's real. So anyway, I'll just pick it up in verse 4, read these very familiar verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, you know, the natural reaction to this is, oh my God, I've heard this, just here we go again. But how many believe that we need a fresh lesson from these words? How many of you are experiencing the peace of God as he describes it here? And you know, the reality is, he says don't be anxious, but the reality is the world is full of things that produce anxiety. Now, how many of you think that Paul is saying that it's, you know, you never have an anxious thought, you never experience any of that thing? No, of course not. I mean, just read some of the things that Paul went through. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, for example. I believe it is. I'm thinking of some verses there where he's having to defend his ministry against other people who are coming in and claiming to have a you know, have a more pure ministry than his. And so he feels the need to compare. Now, I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's why I'm not seeing what I'm looking for. Praise God. All right, we will get there. So anyway, Paul's describing some of the things he went through. And he talks about, rather as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. And he goes on, talks about all the things the Lord gives him in all of that. But I mean, how many of you have experienced all that Paul has? Now remember, Paul is the one who wrote these words we began with. So let's kind of get this in its context. Look over in chapter 7. He talks about coming into Macedonia in verse 5. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. Be anxious for nothing, Paul says. How do you put all that together? Okay, turn over to chapter 11. And again, he's describing all that he's been through. In the middle of verse 23, is it? It says, I have worked much harder. Again, he's comparing with some others. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in dangers from my fellow Jews, in dangers from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Sounds like a great life, doesn't it? All right. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked besides everything else, if that weren't enough. I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? And you see, this is where Paul leads into the subject of discovering in the Lord that it wasn't his strength that was important, it was God's strength and his own weakness that caused him to realize his need for God's strength. So I don't think I have to belabor the point that we live in a world in which it's full of things that cause fear. I mean, just look at the general condition. You know, Doug mentioned the news. If you pay attention to the news, there's plenty to be afraid of, and people are afraid. That's just the natural reaction to life. But I mean, you know, you block all that out and you try to live in a cabin in the woods, you're still going to have stuff to be afraid of. There's going to be plenty that will cause fear if we allow it to dominate our lives. And so what Paul is not talking about is don't ever feel anxious. I mean, that would be totally unrealistic. Paul felt that way. You read the words of David in the Psalms, and you see a man who is many times in a place of great distress. So whatever else Paul is saying in Philippians 4 is not that there's no place in the human experience for anxiety. You're sinning if you have a moment's feeling of fear. Hogwash. We all know better than that. We experience those things. So the problem is not the question of fear. The question is, what do we do with it? And of course, we know that human beings in the natural world have many ways to deal with fear. Some of you will remember the character from Mad Magazine, which I don't recall ever reading, but everybody was familiar with. What was the guy's name?
Alfred Newman.
Alfred E. Newman, yeah. I looked it up this morning and I totally went out of my head, which is probably good. But anyway, the famous expression that was connected with him was, what, me worry? And a lot of folks deal with the worries of life by just pretending and having fun. Life is too short. I can't control anything anyway. So the whole purpose of life is to have fun. And you know, think about kids as we grow up. I'll say we because we were all kids. And, you know, you begin life with a lot of playing. And the thing that determines what you want to play is what? What's fun? I want to have fun. I want to enjoy myself. I want to do things that give me a sense of well-being and pleasure. And, you know, as you grow up, you run into the conflict of the fact that, well, there are actual burdens in life. There are things that there are responsibilities. Life isn't just about having fun. I've got to begin to do things that aren't necessarily fun but are important. And we run into that conflict. And, you know, hopefully kids learn, hey, life isn't just about having fun. Sadly, the world is full of people that never learned that. And they're still living like kids and thinking that's the way to handle life. Well, you know, on one level, you can understand that. If I'm living in a world of circumstances I can't control, and even in my personal life, there's so many things that would just cause me distress if I paid attention to them, you know, why not? If there are things that I actually enjoy, why shouldn't I just go after those things? But what you have is avoidance. The Lord has allowed us to live in the kind of world that we live in, and He has promised His own that everything is purposeful. Everything is under His control, as we've heard this morning. And there is a reason for the conditions being as they are. So the answer to this, of course, in one sense, you can see where Paul says, don't be anxious. And you can say, well, they got the answer. They're just going to go out and have fun. But is that the answer? I think we know it isn't. But you know, a lot of other folks experience a lot of distress and a lot of difficulty in their lives, and their answer for coping with life is to medicate. You know, if I just have a drink, if I can have some drugs, if I can have, you know, go out and vent my lusts on this or that. And what they're doing is trying to dull the pain of what they're experiencing with all the conflicts and fears of life. And, you know, I just can't deal with it. That's the only way I can deal with it. I've got to just sort of block it out and make myself feel good for a little while. And then when that wears off, I got to go back to it. Boy, do you see the diabolical wisdom of the enemy behind the way he manipulates people? What did he come for, according to Jesus? To steal, kill, and destroy. And he's going to do it one way or another. And so you've got people all over who just have had trauma in their lives for one reason or another. Life is just too painful to deal with head on. And people don't feel they have the strength. And the devil has lied to them and said, you are no good. You're not worthy. The bad stuff has happened in your life. It's your fault. And on and on and on, and has put them in a prison house that causes them to have to feel like they got to run from life and deal with it in a negative way. And I'll tell you, do you think God has better than that? And of course, once you start down that road, if you're acknowledging the reality of the difficulties and challenges of life, does that not tend to bitterness? You know, why should it be this way? And some people will actually be not just bitter against people, but they'll start being bitter against God and angry against Him. Or even coming to the place where they say, there can't be a God. If there is a God of love, why doesn't He fix it all? You know, we've got a God who allows people to reap what they sow. We're not robots. God has created us with a will and with a choice. But oh, the mercy that reaches down in love. Thank God. Thank God He's reached to us, because if He had not instituted, if He had not taken the initiative of reaching out to us, there is not one person here, or not one person who will ever hear this, who would ever think about God or come to Him. Folks, everything about the human condition has separated us from God and has focused our attention on the things of the world. You know, Doug talked about the pull of wanting to possess, wanting to have, wanting to reach out for what the world supposedly offers. Oh, thank God that He can open eyes to see that that's not where it's at. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Everything down here is going to be gone. Everything there will last forever. You know, I thought about Pilgrim's Progress. I think I mentioned that, was it last week? And it just comes back to me, one of the lessons in the house of the interpreter, Christian was brought there before he reached the cross. The Lord wanted him to understand some of the truths of the gospel and the kingdom. And one of the things that the interpreter showed Christian was two children. And one of them, I forget all the details, but there was a contrast. One of them wanted everything right now. There was a promise of toys, in this case, that would not break. Pretty simple picture, isn't it? On the other hand, you had your choice. You could have toys right now. And so the one child was, yes, I want it now, and given all this stuff to play with. And while they watched, all the toys were broken. It was all over. There was nothing. They had nothing. And then the time came when those toys that could not be broken were given to the other child who was willing to wait. Such a simple picture, isn't it? But how much are we like that child that just sees what it wants and wants it right now? Oh, may God help us to have that ability that only God can give to see past this world. And so, like I say, everybody deals with those things that cause anxiety, but so many people will try to escape it one way or another. And it comes down to a heart of unbelief. It comes down to a renunciation or a rejection of God in some cases, or a heart that just is angry. Lord, why is it this way? And then trying to avoid it some way. Of course, a lot of other people, instead of trying to avoid it, will actually, in a sense, embrace it. Now, obviously, that's not what he's talking about here, is it? You think that's what God wants? Do you think God allows difficulty so that we will just grab hold of them and wallow in them? No, of course not. That's the whole point of this. Paul experienced difficulties, but obviously that same Paul who experienced all the amazing things that he talks about also gives us this. Don't be anxious. Now, I guess this is as good a time as any to point out something that's not as obvious to us, but as it would have been to a speaker of Greek. Because this, don't be anxious for anything, is the Greek present tense. Now, what does that mean? What's the significance of that? If I use the simple present tense, well, it's right now, yes, but it's not an event. It's not boop and done. This is an ongoing condition. In other words, don't live in anxiety, basically, is what he's talking about. This is the lifestyle tense, if you want to put it that way. That's one way to put it. It's an ongoing condition. This is the condition. This is the place that I live. Always, every time I get up in the morning, I have the burden of the things that I'm anxious and fearful about. That's what God is talking about here. Where the one person wants to get rid of it by trying to block it out and chase pleasure or chase something that would just, or medicate it. You've got other people who just, all they can do is try to wallow in it. God help us. That's not what God is looking for. I had all these thoughts. Lord, you bring them back to my mind according to what you want this morning. But I mean, wallowing in the thing and just embracing it. Doesn't that, for one thing, it tends to a spirit of self-pity. If I embrace that as what my life is about, I get up in the morning, well, this is just how it is. Poor me. I've got to deal with all of this. Oh, what a life God has given me. And of course, then you start having feelings deep down in here that kind of are resentful, and you don't think God's really treating you right. And what a horrible way to live. Do you think that's the lifestyle that God wants for his people, for us to sit around and be so focused on ourselves? Oh my God, the burdens that I have. Oh, I'm so, life is so terrible. But a lot of people live that way. A lot of people live that way. Well, if you've got other people who feel like they've got to fix things, and they're gonna charge at problems and this burden that I have, this thing that I'm fearful about, I've got to do something about it. I mean, you got people right now that are running around trying to save the planet, and they're afraid. I mean, every once in a while you read about somebody that just commits suicide because, oh my God, it's, you know, things about to. Do you not see the intelligence behind so much of that? But how many crusaders in the world are it's a kind of self-righteousness. I'm seeing a problem. It's a burden to me. I'm fearful about the what's going to happen. But, oh, I've got to confront it. And what they're trying to do is confront life with human strength and human ability. This is my lot in life, but man, look at who I am. I can do something about this. I've got to cope with this. This is my lot. That certainly isn't what Paul's saying. He says, don't be anxious. That's not your lifestyle. That's not the lifestyle God wants for his people. He's not wanting us to sit there in human strength and cope with stuff. Well, there's one other way that I think some people cope with this. They almost see it as a badge of spirituality. And they'll feel the burden of things that they see around them and needs that they see around them. And, oh, they're just so consumed with feelings about it. And oh, it should be different, and I want it to be different, and on and on and on and on. And they'll look at somebody who seems to not feel what they're feeling emotionally, and what's the matter with you? Don't you care? See what I'm talking about? There's almost a badge of real spirituality. I'm somebody who cares. And so I feel good about myself because I care. But here's the thing. We've talked about several ways to respond to the fears and troubles and anxieties of life. But where, up to this point, where is all of the energy coming from? Every bit of it comes from us, from self, from human ability. You think there's some significance in that? See, that's the problem. We can try to be spiritual. Try so hard, and oh, Lord God, I care. Oh, I'm trying so hard. A lot of that can be just the energy of self that God wants to deliver us from. You know, it's almost like, I can't enjoy anything because look at all the needs. Oh, my God, you know. There's got to be another way to handle life. You think God wants us to care, doesn't he? But the question is, what do we do with it? I don't know. This may not take very long. We'll just see what the Lord has here, but I want to share what I felt like the Lord quickened. Anyway, do not be anxious. So this is, again, that present tense. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't live in the anxiety. And he's talking about real situations. He's talking about in every situation. So there are things that happen in our lives that he calls situations. Now, those are events, if you will. Those are conditions that happen. We get concerned, obviously, about our health is one of the ways that the Lord allows things in our lives that we could easily be fearful about. And we are, if we're honest. When things happen, yeah, of course we're fearful about that. And questions about, do I have enough to pay the bills? What about my, you know, do I have enough money? Do I have this or do I have that? Or we're concerned about somebody that we know. Oh, God, save them. Oh, Lord, look at the condition they're in. Oh, God. And but we can get consumed with that if we're not careful in the energy of our own selves. But those are real situations nonetheless, aren't they? God allows them to arise. And they're genuine. And there's no sense in trying to pretend that they're not real. And that if we focus on them, they are going to produce fear, are they not? So That's central to this whole thing. But so he doesn't. But he's not saying don't ever feel that. And there are no situations that should arise that will do that. The reality is, yes, there will be. There are in every one of our lives. So the question is, what do we do? And that's the focus of all of this. Do not live. So anxiety should not be our lifestyle. If you're just possessed with a fear that just hangs on and hangs on and hangs on, that's not coming from the Lord. God hasn't given us that kind of a spirit. Yes, we're going to feel that. That's not a sin. That's part of life, to feel those things. Again, what do we do with it? Now, here's a secret that is buried also, I believe, in the grammar. I don't know if I've ever noticed it before. I've forgotten. Of course, that wouldn't be a surprise. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. So now you've got things that arise, things that happen, things that come to our attention, that if we allow them to simmer, they will produce what he's talking about, anxiety and fear. Okay? So they're real. So what do we do about that? All right? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That's pretty important, isn't it? Prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. So you've got not only this coming to God with the need and asking him about something, but there is this sense of thankfulness. Doesn't that, by itself, does that not carry with it the sense of faith? That God actually cares? Now, think about the scripture that we're so familiar with over in 1 Peter chapter 5. I think it's verse 7 or thereabouts. He's just talked about how we need to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand and so forth. But then he says, casting all your care or your anxiety upon him. All right, so there's a transfer there. There's something that right now, it's on me. I'm carrying this heavy load. I got a sack on my back and it's full of bricks. And maybe I've been thinking I was spiritual by carrying that around. But that's not what the Lord says. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Casting all your care, there's different scriptures, upon the Lord. Why? He cares for you. Now, guess what Greek tense that is? That's the present tense. So, you talk about lifestyle, that's God's lifestyle. That's not like, well, today he cares and tomorrow he doesn't because I messed up. This is God cares for you. This is a constant that God wants us to learn to reckon on, that in every situation, regardless of how it looks here, God cares for you. That's his attitude about your circumstances. He cares. Now, here's the thing that really surprised me when I looked at it, because now this is one case where the NIV almost would convey that this is a present tense. We're told to present your requests to God. But in the King James, but also in some other newer translations, let your requests be made known to God. Now, what's behind that? The tense is the same. It's a present. It's an ongoing way of doing things. But it's the question: is this active or passive? Now, if I am not allowing these things to do, there's an active. I'm the actor. I'm the one who does whatever the action is. But when he talks about the prayer, this is allowing these things. This is a passive. I'm yielding to something. The power is not even coming from me. Let that sink in. How in the world can that be? Let's just go back to the whole idea of what God's doing for us. Isn't it called salvation? Yeah, if it's salvation, then it's God doing for me what I am incapable of doing for myself. I know my dad in his young years was a lifeguard. I don't think I ever would have been much of one, but he was. But I understand from those who council lifeguards and council people who would get in dangerous, almost near drowning situations, that the worst thing you can do is to try to help yourself. That the lifeguard is trained to know what to do, and you got to just let them do it. Folks, that is what I need in salvation. God hasn't come to me expecting me out of my own human ability to do anything. He's looking for me to yield and believe and trust Him so that everything He tells me to do is basically a promise to come and help me do it. Think about that. When God tells me to pray, is He telling me to reach down deep into my human ability and then coming up with this thing called prayer, and somehow that's going to do some good? What this same Paul wrote, I think it's in Romans 8, he talked about how we don't know how to pray as we ought. But what does he say? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And the Spirit knows what the will of God is. And all of, so we've got a, what God is calling us to and how He's calling us to deal with these things is to just come to Him with an attitude. First of all, God, I know You care and I thank You. That's one thing we can thank Him about. Thank Him about the promises that we know that are true. But we come to Him with this attitude, Lord, I can't even, not only can I not deal with this, I can't even bring it to You. I don't have the strength, but I'm coming because You told me to, and You promised. This is not even something that I have to generate. You promised if I will yield, Your power is going to come into play. You're going to come, and You're going to help me to bring the request before You. And the end result is there's going to be a peace that will come. And instead of the anxiety possessing us, there will come a peace. Now, yes, there will be other things. There will be things that will come. But what God is picturing here is as they come, we learn how to yield to Him in faith and give Him thanks and lift by the power that He gives us to make requests of Him and to lay claim to His promise. How do you think Paul could have possibly survived all the things that he did if God hadn't basically carried him through it? See, this is somebody who knew what he was talking about. All the stuff he went through, the fearful stuff. Stuff that you and I have no idea. We can't even imagine being in those places. And there he was. And now he's telling them, don't let anxiety control your life. Don't let that be your default condition, your default approach to life, to just be afraid and just be so focused on the problems and troubles that you're facing that that's all you think about. God wants us to face things. God wants us to care. We do care. But what He wants us to be willing and able to do is when we experience those things, to be willing to come to Him and say, Lord, this is what You told me to do. You've told me to bring these requests. God, I can't even do that. But You've asked me to, and You've told me, just by the very grammar that's used in this, You've told me that You're going to help me. That I'm actually yielding to Your power in even doing this. Do you believe that God is there to help you and to give you and to infuse you with His life and His energy when you do what He wants? You see how the devil tricks us into one of these other human approaches. Either I'm going to avoid trouble and anxiety, or I'm going to embrace it as my lot in life, and I'm going to struggle and try. Neither one of those is what God is after. God has a way where we can have His peace. And His peace comes from what? Knowing that He is in control. That he does care, and if He cares, and He's allowing something, does it not, again, serve a purpose? These are things we've heard so many times. But I know from my own experience and from my own life right now, and anybody else, that all the needs that we've heard expressed among us, and the ones that people have not even felt free to express, there isn't a person here who isn't carrying a burden of some kind. Not one. And the Lord has allowed those burdens. Does that mean we get mad at him? Or do we do what he says? Just come to him and say, Lord, you've allowed this, but I know you care. Lord, that's what you said. It's not just, I'm doing okay, so now you look on me kindly. No, he cares. What are you going through right now? Do you know he cares for you? He's concerned. Do you really, I mean, we can say that and we can affirm that, but do we really in the depths of our being believe that? That's what matters. Because if we can come with a heartfelt conviction that God cares and that he has called us to bring those needs before him, there is an amazing transfer that happens. We hand the burden off to him. And what God means for that, at least in that experience, is that we literally let the burden go and we don't at that point feel the burden, any, the weight of that burden anymore. What we feel is peace. What a transfer. What a deal. We give him the burden. He gives us his peace. Praise God. That's where God is, what God is taking us through. And you know, when we're doing that, what are we exercising human nature and human ability? Or are we trusting in the new life that he has put within us? Is that not an expression of that new life? Doesn't it grow when we exercise it that way? You see where God wants this new life to grow, not the old one. He wants us to learn how to live that out. I just pray that as we, especially we come into these meetings, seems like every year, we have stuff going on all the time, but it just seems like the devil really comes and oppresses. But God wants us to realize, first of all, to take that as a positive thing. If the devil didn't care about us, see, the devil is the one that's afraid. He's not afraid of me. He's not afraid of you, but he's afraid of Christ. He knows that the more we learn about him, the more we trust him, the more we walk in the truth that he gives us, the less of a hold the devil's going to have in any one of our lives, less of an influence. May God help us to rise up and realize who we are and who he is and how he feels about us. So we don't carry life's burdens that God allows but doesn't want us to bear and walk around and feel like, oh my God. Cast them upon him because he cares. And the peace of God, praise God, which transcends, goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Does that mean nothing else is going to happen? Is that some perfect little place that we hide away from life and nothing ever touches us again? No, other things are going to arise. The devil's going to put something in your path and then he's going to interpret it for you. You ever notice how good the devil is at that? He's very good at explaining what the significance of this event is. This happened because God doesn't care. This happened because you're such a mess up. You're such a failure. You did this such and such and you deserve this. On and on and on. Or this is too much for you. There's no way you're going to handle this situation. This is terrible. And on and on and on. He will lie and interpret everything that happens in your life instead of saying, Lord, you have allowed this. You've allowed it for my good. And if it concerns somebody, exactly what Doug said, God is not going to lose any of his. He allows us to lift them before the Lord, to pray for them, but we're going to have to come to a place where we can find rest even in that. We can care, but we don't have to go around, We can hand that off to the Lord and say, Lord, and in the process, there may be some, I'm not saying this is just a quickie little two-second thing necessarily. Sometimes there may be prayer that's ongoing or that's maybe take a little bit period of time as we're exercising that. But there comes a time when that burden that has been weighing us down is literally handed off to God. Now, what good is it if we go through the motions of handing it off to him when we're still carrying it? We all do that. But God help us to learn the simple secret. Do you think Paul could have done what he did if he hadn't learned something about this? Man, it would have defeated him. But he learned how to trust God. I know there's a scripture that follows it. Do you think it's just happenstance that he follows this thought up the way he does? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, and he goes on all these things. Do you think there's a connection with what we allow to simmer in our minds and living in a state of anxiety? Yeah, do you see the wisdom of Satan to bring down, to destroy? God help us to have this sense in our minds of focusing on what's true. Well, how do we know what's true? The world is just bombarding us with its ideas, and with its interpretation, its understanding of things. My God, if we listen, if we allow that to kind of percolate in our minds, where's that going to leave us? My God, we don't just need the words in this book. We need the author of this book to breathe life into his words, to meditate on it, to allow what is true to possess our minds and govern our thinking. And I'll tell you, as we do, we're going to have a foundation. Again, if I were told to come and bring my request to God, but I didn't know that he cared, that would be an obstacle, wouldn't it? That would kind of get in the way. But yet here I have his promise. He cares. Can I not cling to that and say, Lord, you said you cared, and so on that ground I come. You said that Jesus has opened a way into before the throne room of heaven. And so, Lord, I'm quoting that. I'm standing upon that because that is true. I don't have to wallow. I don't have to go down under this. I can bring it to you just the way you said, and I can feel okay in handing it off to you. Praise God. Are these not simple things? But how many of us really, really walk in this to the degree God would have us? I believe he's patient, aren't you? Aren't you glad he is? He loves us. He cares. My God, I thought of one example from history. I don't know. Maybe this will fit in a way. But when the Israelites had arrived at the promised land on their first, after a few months of going across the wilderness, being at Mount Sinai, you remember what they did? They sent some spies. Joshua and Caleb were two of them, and then there were 10 others, and each one represented a tribe. And they went over, and they searched out the land, and they brought a bunch of grapes back that was so big it took two of them to carry it. And their report was, yes, it's a wonderful place. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's an awesome land, but... And of course, then he enumerates all the difficulties. And so you had all these people that, you know, immediately, oh my God, that was what controlled their thinking. And here's Caleb standing up and saying, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. Now, what was it that enabled him to say that? How could he say that? There was a sense in him, God had planted truth in his heart, and he had received that truth. You think that matters? That we, in the depths of our being, will allow God to plant his word, his truth, deep in here. Folks, I don't have what it takes to stand up in this world. I need to know in my heart of hearts what's true. And I need to allow that to dominate my thinking so that whenever I look at the news, whenever I look at anything that's happening around, I can see it, not just from the earthly perspective, but from God's perspective. I can see what man's planning, and I can say, yeah, just wait. I know where this is headed, and I know my God has promised to be with me to the end of the age. Yeah, there are going to be things that would make me fearful if I let them. But I know my God is faithful. His word is true. His word is forever settled in heaven. On and on it goes. But that's what I'm going to allow that to dominate my thinking. That's what I'm going to think about. How easy is it for us, especially when we get tired and things don't look good and feel good, to sort of let our mind drift into a very negative place? May God help us You think it's any accident that he follows up what he says about anxiety with, think about truth, think about the good things, think about the things of God. These are things we've heard so many times, but what a simple thing. Don't let anxiety and fear be your lifestyle. We deal with it, but we deal with it by bringing it to God. But even in bringing it to God, we are consciously recognizing that as I do what he's told me to do, his life is going to come into it, and it's going to make it possible for me to do what he says. I don't even have to do that in my own strength. I can come, and there he is. He can bear everything. There's no burden too big for him. And what he wants is for me just to, by faith, hand this issue over to him, lay it in his lap, and just thank him for the peace, and not feel like, oh my God, I shouldn't feel this way. It's so bad. The devil tricks us into falling right back into picking up the burden and think, oh, if I really care, I've got to carry it and feel and wallow in it. No, if we really care, we're going to bring it to the God who is able to do something about it. And we're going to let him fulfill his work and his plan in the earth. To God be the glory. This is a simple, simple truth. But I suspect that I'm not the only one here who needs this morning. Every one of us has burdens. We're carrying them, and they're real. But God has an invitation. You bring it to him, he'll give you the strength even to bring it to him. I mean, you know, what do we have to lose? Praise God! What an awesome salvation God has given to us. To him be the glory forever and ever. Praise God.
Praise God. Lord's so good, isn't he? I appreciate what the Lord has shared this morning. It's been a great blessing to me. I just had a thought here, a scripture I'd just like to read. I thought to flow with the service this morning. It's in Lamentations 3. And verse 1, I'm just going to read this real quick here. It says, I am the man who has seen affliction by thy rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. I thought it was interesting. How did that happen to him? It said it was the Lord's wrath. I thought that was interesting when I read that. It's like Brother Phil was saying earlier, you know, the Lord has, he plays a part in everything that we go through. And if you read on down, there's several things this man went through. But because of what Lord allowed this to happen to, it did something work in his heart, like Brother Tim was sharing, didn't it? And it says here in verse 22, it says, because of the Lord's, this is the same man that just was talking about this. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Praise God for that. That's because of his great love, isn't it? Tell you what, if it weren't for that, that would be what happened to us. We would fail and we'd be consumed. It says the Lord, it says they are new, his compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is our portion. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. That's the big key right there, isn't it? That our Lord, that we have our hope in our Lord. Praise the Lord for that this morning. And it also says it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord and to the one who seeks him. There's something that's important, and we've been talking about that for a good while, is our relationship with the Lord and seeking the Lord. That's the key of when we go through these things, these trials and stuff we go through, that we have that relationship with the Lord, because that is our hope, isn't it? It said, it is good for a man to bear the yoke while he's young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. Anyway, I just wanted to thank the Lord this morning. I just really appreciate the service, because like it said, we are all going through things, but man, they're for a reason and a purpose, what we're going through, and it is to draw us closer to the Lord, isn't it? Praise God. We're just so blessed, aren't we? Praise the Lord.